This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
216-474-0092. That is the number to call in. We had a spirited conversation about the Cavaliers. In fact, I might take one more phone call on the Cavs. Can I do that? Because then I want to get to football. You good?
Andy, I'm looking for
permission. Patrick and Willoughby. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Here's my thought on what's wrong with the Cavaliers.
Here we go.
It's the same thing since they got manhandled by the Knicks. They're too soft. Just looking at the box score, because I work afternoon shift, Zubac got 20 rebounds. He scored 28 points. That tells me he just manhandled our big. So what happens now, once we're being dominated in the point, the court gets so much smaller that those three-point shots are now contested. And this has been an ongoing problem. I only saw a couple games this year because I don't even have cable because I don't even like this three-point shooting business. But anyway.
Wait, that's why you don't have cable? Because you don't like three-point shooting?
I don't want to pay $200 a month to watch three NBA basketball to jack up threes all day long. Okay. Now, Houston, I saw Houston this year. Steven Adams did the same thing. He punked us. Also, now that I got you, this is the first time I've ever called. I just couldn't take it anymore. Also, now they got you on the line. Here's how you fix the Browns.
Oh, keep going. All right. Well, we're going to talk Browns in a second. So lead us into that, Patrick.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Fix the Browns.
Fix
go.
Them.
When you got a guy like Kareem Hunt, you don't cut him. He goes to Kansas City, carries them to the Super Bowl, and then they don't even go to him in the Super Bowl. Also, they got Joe Flacco, leads the Browns to the playoffs, which is almost like the Super Bowl to any other team. They don't re-sign him.
Patrick, thank you for the phone call.
Patrick,
call again.
Did you go to Willoughby South?
No, I'm an East Lake North. I was a hooper at East Lake North.
Nice. All
right.
Wow. There you go.
Going against the grain, too. Thank you, Patrick.
Can I let me follow up one thing Patrick said?
Yes.
Talented big centers, and I mean big, I don't mean tall, can give the Cavs a little bit of a problem because Jarrett, though a terrific center and good rebounder and good defender, is slight. And so the muscle guy inside can be a problem. However, Jarrett could be a problem for those guys because he can outquick them.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's all a chess match.
All right, they had a bad game. Chalk that up for a bad game for
absolutely.
Last night.
Absolutely. There's no reason to panic, but there's also the thought that a lot of people...
Jeff, you do realize if they do lose tonight, I may go into a little bit of a panic.
Well, that'll be great. That'll be fun.
Oh, great.
The thing that I think people need to realize, Like, you're a little over the top today with your concern. That's okay, because Andy, you care.
Concern is
you
not
care,
over.
Andy,
I do.
You care.
Yes,
you
this
care.
Is true. But I'm not over the top.
Folks who think that this tremendous regular season means, oh, they're going to the NBA Finals. Here we go. It's the championship. Well, maybe. But the playoffs are a whole nother world, and you've got to be playing well at the right time and blah, 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 blah. More blah, blah, blahs for me. But just don't think that this team has an automatic pass to the NBA Finals, because I think that's anything but the case, despite the fact that they've been incredible during the regular season.
All right, let's move on.
You okay.
Ready? Let's talk about the Browns.
Okay.
All right, as we go into this draft, which is going to be here before you know it, right? If I keep saying that, that makes it true, right? It'll be here before you know it. And you look at the track record of Stefanski and Barry with quarterbacks. What goes through your mind?
It's not been very good. That's what goes through my mind.
Yeah, and so why?
But you know why it hasn't been very good? Because they made their big move and it didn't work. That's why. They made their big move. You thought that it was going to work, but it hasn't worked. In 5 years of the Stefanski-Barry era, Andy?
Yes.
11 different guys have played quarterback in a game, thrown a pass for them. They're not very good. That's not very good. I'll give you the list.
Now
you
I
want
feel
the
like
list
my, yeah,
here?
Give me the list. Oh, is this worthy of music or no?
No, I don't think it's worthy of music. It's worthy of discussion.
All right, go ahead.
There's a point to this that the entire thing can be dismissed with. It didn't work with Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
My guess is it won't work with Deshaun Watson, and they have to come up with another plan, and I think that's what they're going to do this offseason. It's already started with Jameis being dispatched to parts unknown. At least for now, I'd be stunned if he's back. And Deshaun, more than likely not seeing the football field at all this year, and with Kenny Pickett being traded here. But take a look at the 11 guys that have been here. And we'll go over them real quickly. There are five that are worthy of consideration, and six that just kind of had to play because of injuries and everything else. The six guys, Andy, that I kind of dismissed because they didn't play very much.
Mm-hmm.
Case Keenum, two games, but he was 2-0.
Okay.
E.J. Walker played two games, started two games. These are all starts, was 1-1. DTR started five games. He was 1-4. That didn't work. And then three guys started one game each and lost them. Jeff Driscoll, Nick Mullins, and Bailey Zappe. Okay.
Man, the confidence I have about this quarterback is right there.
Now, see, those guys were all either signed to be a backup, or one was drafted to be developed, and the others were Band-Aids. That's what PJ, Driscoll, Mullins, and Zappe were. This is, to me, where you think, can this is the bottom line here, can this crew identify quarterback talent and then develop quarterback talent? And I was just trying to think, who's the best quarterback? What's the best quarterback play we've had since this group has been here? You know, because we can look all the way back to 99. That doesn't matter. These guys weren't here then. But these guys were here, and these were their quarterbacks. They brought in Jacoby Brissett when they knew that Jacoby was going to have to play because Deshaun was out. He was okay, but he was 4-7. Right, and Deshaun came in and was immediately better. You assumed with Deshaun that Jameis was going to play at some point. You just kind of assumed, I don't know. And unfortunately for Deshaun, he tore his Achilles, and Jameis had to play seven starts. He was 2-5. So to me, those are the fifth and fourth best quarterbacks that this team has had under Barry and Stefanski. Now you tell me, what order are you going to put these three guys in, Andy?
All right,
best quarterback play the Browns have had under Barry and Stefanski. Is it Joe Flacco?
Yes.
Is it Baker Mayfield?
Okay.
Is it Deshaun Watson?
What's my order there? It's not too tough. Baker, Flacco, Watson.
I went Flacco, Baker, Watson, even though the Flacco sample size is really small.
And that's exactly why.
Yeah. But as far as actual play on the field, Flacco was better. But he started five games. He was 4-1 and then butchered a playoff game. Baker's record in the two seasons with these guys that he was with was 17-13. And then you wanted an upgrade. You thought you were getting an upgrade. You made a huge deal to get an upgrade. And Deshaun Watson and his starts has a record of 9-10. So
what was the Flacco record again? Sorry.
4-1.
4-1.
Not including the playoff game.
Okay.
So, you know, Flacco for a very short period of time, I think, is the best quarterback play that we've ever seen under Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. And then Baker. Now here's the catch to this, and this is where, to me, Andy, this is where this might become a concern. You guys tell me what you think about this, if this is a concern. Mm-hmm. They've had 11 quarterbacks, okay? 11 quarterbacks in their 5 years who have played.
Okay.
These guys have actually played. You signed two off of other teams' practice squads, Zappe and Driscoll. You signed six as free agents. Okay.
Okay.
And those guys, Brissett and Winston and Flacco and Keenum and who, PJ and Nick Mullins. You traded for one, Deshaun. That didn't work. You drafted one, DTR, and that didn't work. And you inherited one, Baker. So he was here. In other words, the quarterbacks they've brought in haven't done the job, except for Joe Flacco. And how did you get Flacco? He was sitting there and needed a gig, and you needed a quarterback. And other teams passed on him, if you recall. Other teams signed veteran quarterbacks that year, and they ended up not taking Flacco, and Joe came in and played really well. So I won't say that this group has ignored the quarterback spot because they thought they made the move in Deshaun. But their trade didn't work out. Their draft pick didn't work out, DTR. And for the most part, their free agent signings didn't work out.
And they
and they're sitting and they here with the second pick, and they need a quarterback.
And they let their inherited guy go.
And they let their inherited guy go.
They
who arguably is the best quarterback they've had. And in all honesty, probably is. Except for five games with Joe, where Joe was tremendous.
Right. And there was no drama with Joe.
No drama. It was a feel-good story. And everybody ignored the interceptions because they went 4-1.
It's easy to ignore them when
sure
you win.
Sure it is.
Come back, take the lead. No one cares.
Jameis didn't work, even though, man, he had some.
He made it fun. I'll give him that.
And you know the one thing I keep going back to about Jameis that makes me think, Andy, you sure you want to give up on him? His record wasn't good, right? 2-5?
Right.
He beat Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know. I just...
And threw it like crazy.
Do you have any hallucinations that he's coming back?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, it's way down on my list of options. But I do think it's a possibility. And here's why I think it's a possibility. Let's just say, okay? Today, Aaron Rodgers says, I'm going to the Giants. Russell Wilson says, I'm going back to the Steelers. Steelers decide they're going to call Russ. Boom, he's gone. Minnesota goes out and signs, I don't know, fill in the blank. The Giants are then, you know, they've got Aaron. Steelers have Russ. Somebody signs in Minnesota. Who's going to play in Cleveland? Jameis needs a team. Browns need a quarterback. I think there's still an outside chance.
Jeff, I've got an option. I'm not sure most Browns fans want to hear, but something happened in the last 24 hours that makes me think this is still on the table. I'll tell you what it is when we come back. 216-474-0092. All right, let's do this, because this was a story that I thought was interesting, okay? And Deshaun Watson puts out there that he's got this video of him working out. He's got his boot on as he's working out. He's working the big ropes. He's, you know, right there on the treadmill doing the thing, but he's not actually on the treadmill.
Where did those big ropes come from? I think that started with sailors back in the day on the ship.
I don't. Have you
trying
done
to do something to exercise?
Have you done ropes before?
Are you looking at me?
Yeah. So you obviously.
Do you think I've done the ropes before?
No. Dan, your ropes.
Same answer Mr. Phelps just gave you.
They're not easy. Doing those ropes are not easy. They're big ropes, and you're just like, whoa. And then after a couple minutes, I mean, yeah, I'm being weak.
That explains Popeye.
You obviously have
a couple minutes, Andy. That's impressive. Like, to do battle ropes for minutes at a time is really impressive.
What, like 2 minutes?
I am Andy Baskin. I'm impressive.
You think so?
Well, I mean, you're a hockey player, so I guess it makes sense because hockey players usually go full tilt.
Oh, I was done, man. I was just like, I do the
battle ropes. I do them in like 30-second increments.
Oh, maybe I did it. It's been a while since the guys at the gym are all like,
Andy Baskin, I did it for 20 minutes straight.
I did not do it for 20 minutes. I like that.
You're a stronger man than I am, Charlie
Brown. You do know what my nickname is. I officially hit the slacker board last month. Now they think I'm not coming back.
Nice job.
There's a board. It says slacker. And
Baskin's at the gym?
Right on
there.
Yeah. Wait, they really have that at your gym?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
And you pay for that?
Well,
you pay to be called a slacker. Nice job.
Thanks for asking. Okay, so anyway,
we would have done it for free.
That's true.
We pay you to be a slacker here.
I've taken a lot of heat from the two of you today. In particular, more from Phelps than I have from Megan.
I'm just trying to save you some dough.
Trust me, I'm good with saving dough. I'm good with that. I'm also good with spending dough and trying to pay back everybody that I owe. Yeah. But anyway, can we get back to the real conversation here before we start ripping the slacker?
Sure.
I just thought it was interesting that so Deshaun does this workout video, and now all of a sudden there's a story about, you know, Mary Kay had a story yesterday where the headline is Deshaun Watson provides a glimpse of how hard he's working to come back from his re-ruptured Achilles. Does this need to be in the thought process of the front office while they're trying to figure out what they're doing at the quarterback situation this year? And there's a part of me, Jeff, until he re-ruptured his Achilles, I thought he was on a course to come back this year. And by the way, how many times have we seen before where a team only carries two quarterbacks? It could be Kenny Pickett and whoever they draft. And then Deshaun sitting there on the IR waiting to come off the IR, after 4 weeks? I mean, that is a possibility.
No, it's not.
Why is it not? And I'm not saying he's coming back in week five, but he could come back after that.
He's not coming back this year from the Achilles. If he is, it's in December. That's too late.
So wait, you're saying he could be coming back?
I would be surprised if he comes back.
Enough for them to carry just two quarterbacks all season and maybe put a quarterback on the practice squad?
Have you seen the quarterback situation here?
Yes, I have. You're talking about Kenny Pickett and someone they're going to draft.
I think you're talking about Moore.
I don't know.
There's a great chance that they keep three quarterbacks this year.
So far, they have one on the roster. I'm assuming they're going to draft one.
There's plenty of time.
We're all assuming there's just one. What if they don't get that free agent quarterback that you're talking about?
Okay.
Which is a possibility. Give me your list again.
Of what?
Of free agent quarterbacks. The three that you think, say there's three you think come in and start over Kenny Pickett? Right?
Would be flout the starting quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Kirk Cousins if he became available.
Okay, so let's just say Cousins doesn't become available.
Other than that, I think there's actually a competition.
If I'm Atlanta, I'm holding on to him until the season starts because at some point someone's going to have a quarterback that gets hurt, and they're going to need Kirk Cousins. So now he's off the board. So now you're down to...
Well, no, he's not off the board. Maybe you could be the team that ends up with him.
He's off the board for right now.
Oh, okay. Okay? I'll give you that.
All right, and maybe to start the season, possible.
Yeah, I would think that's possible.
So I'm taking Kirk Cousins off. Okay, so now we're down to Russell Wilson
and Aaron Rodgers.
Those two guys
answer the question of who starts week
and
one for the
Browns. How many teams are looking for quarterbacks? Another quarterback?
Starting quarterbacks right now: the Giants, the
Browns,
the Steelers,
Vikings.
That's about it.
Vikings?
I think the Vikings.
Vikings?
If the Vikings were to sign...
If not a backup, they're looking for somebody who's going to be a solid backup.
I think the Vikings are in the same situation the Browns are.
I'll even take the Vikings off the board for you. So now you're Giants.
Well, you should, because they have J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's in the same situation as Deshaun Watson, not playing and hurt.
Except he's not coming back from a torn Achilles.
I get it.
He's coming back. I believe it's a meniscus. It's not an ACL.
Is he going to be ready?
Yeah, he's supposed to be more than ready to go.
Enough so to let your quarterback go as a free agent to Seattle.
Well, and they didn't bring back Daniel Jones either. So they must have some kind of confidence.
Again, even if it's two or three teams, who knows if the Browns can win one of those quarterbacks in free agency still.
You know what
Russell Wilson could easily end up in Minnesota, right? Russell Wilson could end up in New York.
I just think Minnesota is going to end up signing, for instance, Carson Wentz. And he goes to Minnesota, and he's a viable starter for them if J.J. McCarthy has issues with his recovery or J.J. has issues playing. I think Carson Wentz could be a viable quarterback there. If you bring him to Cleveland, well, then you've got the big competition. Then it's Kenny Pickett, Carson Wentz, and whoever you draft. And there is a real competition, and away you go. And that's okay. I think that'd be great. I think Carson Wentz would have been Pittsburgh.
I think Watson is still on their radar to try to squeeze some out of that contract.
My buddy Jeff says Tennessee is also looking.
Okay. Yeah, he's right.
He's right. But, I still think Cam Ward's going to Tennessee.
Okay. That's fine. I don't think Deshaun Watson is off the menu. At the beginning of the season, I might be the only one. And then you see these stories, him working out.
Working out with his arms.
Yeah, I know. But he is trying his best to come back. And I think if the Browns can get anything out of that contract.
Andy, that's what he's being paid to do. I understand that.
But I still think the Browns, if they could just try to squeeze a little bit of blood out of that rock, they would do it. They paid a lot of money to not have him play. And I still think somewhere in the back of someone's mind in that front office, they're saying, all right, maybe it isn't 100% over for Watson. Maybe there is a chance that if he does actually recover and he gets healthier quicker than we think he's going to, what if he is ready week 10 or 11? Is that impossible? Is that impossible based on the injury and what we know about the injury? Week 10 or 11?
It's a full year injury.
That's really pushing it, Andy.
It's a full year injury,
and he already messed it up once.
Yeah, I know.
They're not gonna push him. The last thing he's going to do, I think, is push to get back on the field, and I can't be mad at him for that. He's getting paid, and he's torn his Achilles twice. Last thing you want to do is get out there again, and run the risk of it. I would assume, Andy, he's out all season long. And I think Andrew Berry has to work under this assumption. He's out all season long. Don't worry about him. Don't think about him. Don't plan for him to come back. He's out all season long. And then after the season, how can I get rid of him? Would this be a good or a bad case scenario? He doesn't play all season. They don't get rid of him. He comes back. He ends up winning the starting quarterback job and plays well in the last year of his contract.
That would be bad because they'd have to pay him on the next year.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's like, wait a minute. We finally got a guy playing well. We're going to let him walk. Oh, my God. I don't know how they could ever give him another contract. So I'm assuming the Browns aren't going to want to see him play, Andy.
So he's immobilized for 6 to 8 weeks. Of course, I'm just kind of looking at the rehab with it, what our good friends our artificial intelligence tells us what it is on that. But then AI also says a ruptured Achilles tendon typically requires a recovery period of 4 to 6 months or longer. So, and it's a re-tear, too. So I don't know how that plays.
That's for guys walking to work, not getting tackled by large men.
It's a full-year injury for professional athletes. It is a full-year injury.
And doesn't mean you come back and you're really good. Ask Aaron Rodgers, ask Kirk Cousins.
Right. All right, let's come back. I want to talk a little bit more about this. I also want to get into the fact that what does it mean that Aaron Rodgers is probably out in Minnesota, that Minnesota said, we'll pass. What does that mean anything for the Browns? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
216-474-0092. All right, we're going to get back to the Browns in a little bit. Maybe we'll talk about the Cavs later in the show, too, especially with Tom Withers at 1 o'clock. Bill Bender is going to join us in the noon hour, too, and we're getting into the college basketball tournament, too. So, but I kind of want to get into that here, too, because I've got some really quirky numbers about brackets. But first, I think we need to start with probably what is the most important story in sports. Dan, take it away.
Oh, wait a minute. We have to get mellow now, right? Is that the deal?
Hi, Jeff, and friends.
Yeah.
Hello, all.
Don't get creepy on me.
Yeah.
All right, we now have just announced by the Masters Club dinner of the previous champion, last year's champion, Scottie Scheffler.
Oh.
It was the second green jacket that he earned, right? The first time, if we remember correctly.
Because you can't just have one green jacket. You have to have two.
I think you only get one, though, don't you?
Doesn't matter, Jeff. In this scenario, we don't recycle jackets.
If we remember,
are the Masters.
Correctly. Last time Scotty did this, it essentially looked like the menu to a Chili's that he decided to put forward.
Oh.
So, it
chips in that dip with the beans in it?
It kind of was. Nice. It was one of those where you could clearly tell some of the patrons were walking in and going, what?
Great burgers.
Exactly. What? We're doing this? Okay, we're doing this.
We're doing this.
So this time it's a little more adultish, but still Scotty at the core. For an appetizer, we have cheeseburger sliders served Scotty style, which is the only way you should serve.
Yeah, what is Scotty style? Do we know?
I have no idea. Probably ketchup.
Cheeseburger sliders. Well, that can be filling.
Pineapple. Firecracker shrimp with sweet chai chili and sriracha mayo.
Oh, wow. See, you get those two appetizers, Andy, you can be done.
Oh, you had me at sliders. I was done.
Yeah.
Well, and you got a third, too, which is Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites with pecorino cheese and tomato basil sauce.
You know, appetizers are phenomenal, but they can ruin your dinner.
Those, it's like too much bread.
We'd pound on those. Those would be good.
So the question I have with that is Papa Chef coming in and making this for everybody, or did Papa Chef pass the
Who's Papa
recipe?
Chef?
My guess would be Scotty Scheffler's dad.
His dad?
Do they roll in like a green egg to make him on there? Or
no,
what
I don't
do they
think
do?
So. I'm sure they have grills at Augusta.
Also, wouldn't it be great, though, if he came in with like some charcoal and his own lighter fluid and stuff and said,
hey,
I'm not using your stuff.
That'd also, awesome. On things that only the golf nerds will remember, ravioli is what Scotty Scheffler was making when he cut his hand open. So my guess would be Scotty will not be making the ravioli
to his injury.
Yes, yes. First course will be Texas-style chili with cheddar cheese, jalapeno, and corn chips.
First course?
Yep.
Wait, it's not ravioli, it's what?
So those three I did before. The
those three are
sliders,
appetizers.
Firecracker shrimp.
Yeah, I got that.
Those are the appetizers. Course is chili.
I wonder if they serve them like
Texas style.
They just put all kinds of stuff on the tables and they just get you know, all kinds of it. Or do you have to order one of the appetizers?
I mean, you're our Texas core. Oh, you're talking the appetizers.
Yeah.
My guess would be is it's a mingle thing and you got people walking around with metal trays.
Yeah.
Or you just walk up with the...
Or you can go over and pick them.
You get your toothpick and you get your food on your toothpick and you go from there.
Texas-style chili, huh?
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought you were going that direction. I'm like, I don't know. You're our expert on Texas.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that would be. I wonder if it's really spicy or whatever. But see, if you pound those appetizers and then have a big bowl of chili, you're done, man.
Wait, that's why I got paced yourself here.
Do we have a vegetable here?
That's what... Vegetable. That's what adults eat.
Anything green?
Green.
Does corn dog count as a vegetable?
It's as
corn.
Every woman in your life who will care about you will tell you, remember, eat colorful foods, vegetables.
The only green
thing. Colorful vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
That you will see on this menu is the jalapenos that you're putting in your Texas style chili. That is the only green thing on this menu because your main course, gentlemen, of course.
Okay.
Ribs. What is it?
It's got to be strip steak, right?
We got a wood-fried cowboy ribeye.
Cowboy ribeye.
Or.
I mean, it's the big bone in it, right?
Yeah. Or a blackened redfish served with family-style macaroni and cheese, jalapeno cream corn, soy-glazed Brussels sprouts, so we're up to two green.
Sprouts.
And chipotle lime roasted sweet potatoes. Scotty's whole goal is to make sure that the entire field can't walk 18 tomorrow.
So I have to take a nap.
That's what this is.
I mean, as the kids would say, you start with all those heavy apps. You know? And that chili is just, man, it's not like it's, you know, you're eating some kind of, soup strainer soup.
Can I ask a question about the family style mac and cheese? You good with me on this? Have you seen that there's a famous soup company now making family style mac and cheese?
No.
Have you noticed this? Have you seen the commercials for them?
Oh, I've seen the commercials.
And to me, and maybe this is just goes back to my Northeast Ohio roots of Stouffer's. Like, to me, that's family style mac and cheese. Stouffer's, right? And I just get weirded out when I see this other company, well known for soup, making mac and cheese. It's not appealing to me. Sorry.
Huh.
Well, because I think you're using cream of whatever in there. I think that's what it all boils down to. You know, whatever cream of...
Well said.
Yeah, is stated to be in there. I'm not 100% sure what the recipe dictates, but I wonder if that's what it is.
You know, I was curious
about... That's some serious food. He's got to have some dessert on there.
He's got a dessert. Yeah, dessert.
Those vegetables sound pretty good, though. Those Brussels sprouts are probably good.
How dare you use the plural with vegetables in this menu? It is a vegetable.
I am proud of this menu.
And jalapeno.
Sweet potatoes?
Yeah, I'm good. I love
it. It's a vegetable of some sort.
Oh, come on now. Ask a dietitian where sweet potatoes fall in the food pyramid.
You get a lot of beta carotene, don't you?
They're colorful.
They do have a color. You're right. They do have a color to them.
Isn't that what they have?
What?
Beta carotene?
I don't know.
All right. Your dessert is a warm chocolate chip skillet cookie with ice cream on top of it.
Okay. I want to be Scheffler's friend.
He's all right, man. He's my kind of guy.
He's my kind of guy, too.
That's my dinner. I'd eat that.
Coming off the year before, if you saw Hideki Matsuyama's menu, where it was basically all the sushi and Wagyu steak and all of that kind of stuff. And his high-end food.
Steak doesn't sound
bad. Then here comes Scotty rolling in going, all right.
Big old hunk of red meat.
Let's get the red meat. Let's get the sliders. Okay, fine. We'll eat healthy. Throw some shrimp in that's been breaded and deep fried.
We got red meat for dinner. We got red meat for our soup.
Scotty,
we got
don't
red
you
meat
want
for an appetizer.
Scotty, don't you want a vegetable in there? Yeah, but you got to fry it in soy sauce.
Yeah, you know, when you take Brussels sprouts, you mix them up with bacon and you fry them. Doesn't it completely defeat the entire purpose of eating a vegetable?
But they are delicious.
Oh, my God.
Take away from the micronutrients, Jeff.
Oh, that's true, too.
See, and that's...
Micronutrients are still there. It's just in a much higher caloric form.
That's what I shoot for, Meredith. Thank you.
Don't you wish that John Daly would have won the Masters at some point, right? Just for this meal.
Our appetizer. Everybody gets a pack of Marlboros.
Oh, no, no. You know what it would be.
No.
Okay, first of all,
it's a restaurant that's about to declare bankruptcy who's in charge of walking around with the appetizers, first and foremost. He's outsourced all those waitresses.
Outsourced.
And
are we talking orange shorts?
Yep.
You would have to not wear shoes or wear flip-flops into the venue. It'd be shoes, no service, right? Wouldn't that be the first thing?
Well, you can't come in without smoking a pack of Marlboros.
Well, that's probably true, but you got to...
You look too classy. Go home.
Once you're there, here's your light beer du jour.
No, it'd be potato skins fully stacked.
Have seven of those.
If it's John Daly, it's skins.
Oh, it's chicken
wings.
It's wings, and they're coming from his... We'll call it his remote office during Masters Week, which is the wing joint that's right down the street from where they are.
Home of the Owls.
And yes, you can meet him there. And yes, they do advertise.
But you know John's going to throw in a great big old steak.
It's a steak, straight potatoes with butter.
You like cowboy ribeyes? Like Scotty's got going there?
Yeah, I would eat that. Yep.
I had one years ago. I got a gift certificate to a fancy steakhouse in town and went, oh my God, it was unbelievable.
Okay, do you know why they wear a green jacket? I just read this out of the Augusta Chronicle. So these are all
so that they can hide in the bushes without people recognizing them.
So that when they spill their vegetables on their jackets, they don't get noticed?
Hey, this is worthy of their music because it is so pretentious. It is ridiculous.
Okay.
This is the reason.
Hang on. Wait a minute.
I'm there.
There you go. Go ahead, Andy. Tell us. Don't do it in the voice, though.
Oh, you got to do it in the voice.
Australian?
The master's jacket is created by the Brooks Uniform Company in New York, and they make the original jackets,
sure,
which feature heavy wool material. Those were the originals, that heavy wool material. Then they soon gave way to a lightweight version.
A little warm there in Augusta.
Yeah, I think so too. That would be custom ordered from the club's pro shop. They are single-breasted, single-vent garment, and it really is because you have won this special achievement. In fact, the green jacket is the ultimate symbol of success in golf. And that's where we land. That's what you need to know. The green jacket is just reserved for Augusta National members and golfers who win. And that's not even right. It's players who win the Masters. Jackets are kept on the club grounds, and then taking them off the premise is strictly forbidden.
You gotta leave it there.
Then you can sit in a creepy cabin with Jim Nantz.
Didn't somebody steal their green jacket? Somebody took theirs.
Gary Player reportedly got into a heated exchange in 1962 with Cliff Roberts after he mistakenly took his jacket home to South Africa.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? You can't take it anywhere.
Used it to wash the car.
It was also used to let everyone know who the club members and the champion players are as a reliable source of information to just identify them.
Isn't it kind of, I never understood this. Hi, Jack Nicklaus, you've won the Masters. You can have the same jacket that all the rest of us wear all the time. We just paid a lot of money for it.
So, you know, there is a special jacket for Muirfield, too, when you win the Muirfield.
Yeah, it's gray.
Yeah, it's like...
It used to be plaid. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, it still has a little bit.
It was a god-awful plaid.
Yeah, and by the way, in case you're wondering... And
somebody told Jack it looked like, you know what?
I mean, you also get $2 million too if you win the Masters.
That helps. You can go buy your own jacket.
I don't know. Do you want to know what the color of the Masters green, the official color is?
It's got to be something like forest.
It is called That Brilliant Rye Green is Pantone 342.
Huh.
So if anyone, maybe they should call it the Masters Pantone 342 jacket rather than the green jacket. Can we all get a little bit of class here?
Good cowboy ribeye, though. Way to go, Scotty.
Have some class. The race for second base. I watched the Guardians game last night. A little bit of that. We'll talk about that.
Did your stomach recover?
No, somebody had a big home run in that one, the race for second base, too.
Oh, did he ever?
Plus, Bill Bender of the Sporting News joins us in the next hour. Baskin and Phelps. Tom Withers at 1 o'clock.